This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It feels, now that I'm 35, that like time is of the essence. And so like, is it more important for me to then just actually save these commissions, like not worry about the credit card as much as just trying to get my eggs in the freezer and then do the credit card?
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here with my guest today, Morgan. Hi, Morgan.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me, and thanks for waiting to be on the show. We took a little break over the winter.
I'm happy. I'm just happy to be here. Yeah. It's worth the wait, for sure.
Amazing. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your age, where you live, what you do, all that.
Okay, cool. I am 35 years old. I am an actor. That's what I went to school for and what I had been doing since I got out. So for a little bit of time at this point. And before the pandemic, I'm based in New York City. And Before the pandemic, I was waiting tables and acting, kind of the classic 1-2 punch. And that's what I was doing. And then the pandemic happened and I was out of work for a year. And then I landed this corporate job. So now I have this remote job. It's the first time I've ever had like a salary and a 401k that has been, you know, like provided by, I started a Roth IRA for myself. This is the first time I'm sort of like learning the ropes of like what this life is like. And I'm just looking for some help with paying down some credit card debt and understanding kind of how to, yeah, more about, I feel like, so basically, I guess I'll just back up and say, when I was acting and waiting tables, like it's actually very expensive to be like a starving artist, actually. So like, unfortunately, it just shouldn't work that way, but it is, because you're paying for like classes and then you're, you know, living basically hand to mouth working, you know, waiting tables or whatever side job I happen to land in. I always was able to like cover my basic expenses, but anything above, like going on a trip or taking classes or anything like that, always went on credit. So I have a little credit card debt that I was, and of course the pandemic didn't help anything.
Right.
So
that was
yeah.
a tough time so I'd like to be in the acting space, especially in New York, because everything shut down.
Everything shut down, and the, you know, waiting tables
also
shut down. And then, when it was available to come back, it didn't feel safe really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it was a really hard time. I thankfully, you know, I was on unemployment and I got the COVID, I've forgotten what they're called at this point, but the COVID booster, you know, payments and stuff. But even with that, you know, I had a roommate and everything at the time, but it was just like, you know, my savings really took a hit and I added to my credit card debt, which is, it's such a shame because actually, you know, if anyone is listening and is an actor or a director or writer, anything in entertainment, I took this amazing course through the Entertainment Community Fund, I think. It used to be called the Actors Fund, and they changed the name recently.
Okay.
But it's these free classes that are for people who don't have, like, a predictable income on budgeting. And it's an incredible resource. I really recommend anybody who's involved in this field to check it out. They have all kinds of different classes. So I had actually just taken that, and I was, like, kind of on a roll. And, like, I was, like, saving a lot of money and doing pretty well. And then the pandemic happened.
Oh, no.
And
I was just saying, the pandemic out the window. The whole world shut down.
Yeah. So,
I know,
that's kind of where I'm at right now.
We said a lot, and it wasn't my saying. It was Marcus Garrett, who I love. He has a great podcast as well. And he was like, it wasn't like it was my emergency. It was like the world's emergency. No one ever told you to plan for, like, a world emergency.
yeah.
So true. Okay. So I'm just curious. Okay. So working actress now in a corporate gig, which is remote, do you, like, what's your intention? Like, is your plan to go back? Are you still acting on the side? Is your plan to, do you like the job? Are you planning to stay there?
That's an excellent question. I hope to do both. I think that the role I have is, like, a sales role. And so I guess this is, like, my second year in this, you know, field. I think as long as you get your work done, it's okay if you're doing it at 8 o'clock at night or if you're doing it at 9 in the morning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
as long as you're hitting your numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And it hasn't, unfortunately, on one hand, fortunately, and on another hand, like, unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, acting hasn't really, like, picked up for me since the pandemic in a way that has really gotten, you know, it hasn't really gotten in the way of my job. I did do a show while doing this role, and it was kind of crazy, you know, is in the sense for me personally. I think both the acting job and my corporate job, like, everyone was satisfied, but I did not actually ever have a day off. But I was a little crazy, but I'm okay with that for now. I guess I feel like I want to continue down, keep both irons in the fire and see, like, who taps me out first, I guess, if that makes sense. I like the job, but my passion is acting. But I also am at a place in my life where I want to stop living hand to mouth.
Yeah.
Or paycheck to paycheck, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. If you want some security.
Yeah. Yeah. So if this is how I do it, then okay. I'm okay with that.
And you probably have health insurance, right?
Yes. And you know, there's nothing like a global pandemic to really make you realize that you really should have health insurance.
Because that's the other hard part about being in the acting world, right? Is, you know, no retirement benefits.
There, I mean, well, you know, if you're in a union, I'm in a union. So if you hit your weeks, you know, like, I think it's like six. I don't remember exactly what the numbers are on it, but if you hit a certain number of weeks of work, then you qualify X number of months of health insurance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's great if you're in a position where you're, like, always working. But the other thing that's tough about acting for me anyway is, like, you are then, like, really beholden to, like, whatever show comes your way because you're trying to make your weeks or you're trying to get your paycheck, you know? And so as an artist, it's kind of hard because then you find yourself making a lot of concessions, you know, doing shows that maybe you wouldn't normally want to do just because of these other things. So anyway, I feel like I'm testing a hypothesis that if I have, like, more security and abundance financially, then it might help me actually as an artist to, like, feel comfortable, you know, turning down a show that maybe I don't want to do and pursuing opportunities that I'm really more passionate about and feeling, like, okay with taking longer breaks between projects.
I think that makes total sense. I mean, I saw a woman do it when I worked on the trading floor. She was our trading assistant. She worked on the floor as well. And she was doing it really to support her acting career. But
that's so funny. I actually know someone else. I know it from the acting side, someone who did that. So I wonder if we know the same person.
It's possible. And, you know, she wasn't, like, super passionate about trading, but it was a good job with good benefits and good pay. And, she just hustled a lot. And I'm pretty sure now she's just a full-time actress because, you know, it gets you with the corporate job, it can get you to a certain place financially where you just have a bit more freedom, right? Because you have more security. So I think
yes, that's
I think it's a great play. And the thing is, it's a hypothesis. And if you decide it doesn't work for you in a year or 2 years, you can always pivot. It's not like you're signing like a 10-year contract with this corporation.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about some of your numbers. Okay, so you're 35, you have a remote corporate job. What, and it's sales-based. So do you have a set salary and then bonuses, or is it pure commission?
Yeah, so I can't even believe I'm saying these numbers. These numbers to me sound insane, as in like, I can't believe it, but okay, anyway. So I recently got a raise, so my base salary is $90,000. Well, it's like $92,640. I know, that's why I'm like, what is the world? I never ever anticipated that. And then the way this particular, I'm just banking on making $10,000 commission a quarter.
Holy crap.
I know. I feel like the other shoe was going to drop somehow.
That's 40,000 in commissions.
I don't know. Like, you know, anything can happen. And I don't know how I wound up in this position. So, and I also will say, like, all of this is relatively new. Like, this position changed. Like, I got put onto a new team in September, where then this is how, and then I got a raise for my salary in January. But I will say, and I don't know if this is something that other, you know, you have experienced or other people that you've talked to have experienced, but I still feel like these numbers like have no relationship to like what my bank account looks like or how I feel. So like, I don't know if it like takes a while to kick in or something or whatever, but.
Well, I think it's a great time to like figure out your finances since you just got, because you haven't like started living on that, right? You're not living a $130,000 lifestyle yet, I'm assuming.
No. I hope not. No, I'm definitely not. That would be crazy if I was and I wasn't making that money. That would be really hard. No, thankfully not. But yeah, I still feel like I'm kind of struggling.
Well, okay, so you have good income. You are in an expensive city. So let's talk about, okay, so we have what you're making or what you're projected to make this current year in 2023.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about, you get health insurance through them and there's a 401k through work?
Yeah, so I have a 401k right now. I'm making an 8% contribution and I have $11,828 in there right now.
Great. And do they match? Do they give you any money?
No.
Sadly. That's okay. You have a great salary.
Better than nothing. Better than nothing. Yeah.
You have a vehicle. So that is fantastic.
Yeah. And then I have that Roth IRA that I started.
Okay.
And that's $17,763. And we can talk about this later, but I do have some questions about, because no one's managing it. So it's like really up to me to invest it. And I know I could be doing more with it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's circle back to that, which is that terrible corporate speak. We'll circle back. Having worked in corporate land for so long.
Now I know what that means.
Yeah. Peel back the onion, we'll circle back.
Yeah, right.
We'll roadmap it. All those fun corporate things. Oh, feels like a sitcom. So 8%. So that means you're putting in, and that's including the commissions you get. You'll put 8% of your commissions in there as well.
Oh, I don't know how that works. I just basically give them $300 a paycheck, and I don't know what the I haven't gotten a commission yet, okay. So I don't know.
So
yeah,
that would be good to check on just to make sure. Sometimes you have to elect that separately.
Okay.
So I would just check on your 401k portal that it's for all pay. Sometimes they separate out salary versus bonuses that you're doing it, and I might have you increase that. So we're gonna chit chat for a little bit more.
Okay, great.
Just because you're making, if you end up making $132,000 and you're living in New York City, you're paying federal tax, you're paying New York State tax, and then you're paying New York City tax.
Yeah.
So you're paying three taxes.
Right. Oh, so, right. I remember that from, a prior episode that I listened to. Yeah.
And then in addition to that, you're also paying Medicare and Social Security, which is great. That's good for like retirement credits. But if there's four people with their hands out before you get anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I might have you increase that just to up your savings percentage while you have such good income and also reduce, your tax liability because you're in a high bracket and high tax environment. Okay. So we have the 401k, we have the Roth IRA. And so what are you bringing home? I know it's a newer salary, but what are you bringing home net now? Net a pay?
Like after taxes?
Yep. After everything.
So it's $4,800 a month, like $2,400 every 2 weeks.
Perfect. Okay. And that's with health insurance taken out and the 401k and everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. And then what are your monthly expenses?
Okay. So my rent is $1,650. Okay. My utilities are like $130-ish with everything included. My dog's health insurance is $90.
That will probably save you a fortune at some point.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I'm like kind of, yeah, that's like some, I've been thinking I need to cut my expenses and I was like, how, maybe that's something that I can look at. Then I have a car. So my car insurance is $110 a month.
Okay.
And then I've got two credit cards that I'm holding a balance on. And so between the two of them, my monthly payments for that is $300.
Okay.
And then I learned this from that class that I mentioned, just like factoring in what they're calling wealth payments. So that's like any money that I transfer into my Roth IRA or into my savings account, I'm calling wealth payment. So I don't know if we count that or not, but
yeah,
that's like, yeah, $422.
Okay. And that goes into your Roth.
It goes between my, I do 252 a month to my Roth.
Okay.
And then the rest of that I'd put into my savings account. So I don't know if that counts because I'm still going into my money, you know,
yeah,
the
savings
part of it.
Yeah. So I think it's a nice phrase, wealth payments, and we'll definitely count it in your budget.
Okay, cool.
So it's 422 total, of which 252 goes into the Roth and 170 goes into your like emergency fund.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I pay $100 a week for therapy, which is unfortunately high, and my health insurance doesn't cover it, but I am maxing out my contribution to my HSA to reimburse myself.
Oh, perfect. So that's pre-tax.
So yeah, so it's basically an $80 deficit. So I don't know if you wanted to say that's like $80. You know, I don't know how to count that. So
what it's always, I think better, let's use 100. It just gives us.
Okay. So that's, yeah. So that's 400 a month. And then I have another credit card that I just put everything on that I pay off the total balance of.
Perfect. Okay.
And so that is including like groceries, eating out, you know, any trips I might take or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And that averages out to $2,700 a month. And I feel like that is, I got to look at that.
You got a lot on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then we'll come to savings next, but we'll just say expenses. So the expenses with your rent is reasonable. Mm-hmm. Rent, utilities, dog healthcare, car insurance, and no car payment.
Yeah, I own the car. But then that's the other thing is, you know, like every year there's like a $1,300 uh-oh that happens.
Yeah.
You know, with the car. So I have factored that in, you know, like dividing that, the average of that over 6 months. And so, you know, it's basically like $300 a month to put away on that kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to put that in. I don't know.
What do you use the car for?
My parents live nearby, so it's just nice to be able to take the car out there. And now that I have the dog, it's also really convenient to drive her out there. Yeah. But do I need a car to live? No. And I think probably the next time there's a $1,300 uh-oh, I will probably just park it at their house and try to live my life without a car and see how that goes.
That's not a bad idea to just give it a test run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so excluding your wealth payments, I'm coming to a total of $5,380 a month.
Yeah.
And we have $4,800 coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think our big spot to look at is the $2,700.
For sure.
I also am just curious because $4,800 a month, right? And that's not including the commission payments times 12, works out to be $57,600.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out. So if your base salary is $92,000.
I know, that seems crazy, but I guess.
Yeah, you're getting like 60% of it.
I know.
FICA taxes, just the FICA taxes are 7%. And then if we assume 20 for feds, I don't know, 5 for state, I don't know what the city is. We'd have to look that up, but that's 37. Yeah, it's probably right. So, okay, so where we're going to really have opportunity, first of all, is the 2,700, and then your commissions will come quarterly, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be our big opportunity to use those funds to to move the needle, I think, besides investigating like where, like, is there any way we can reduce the 2,700?
Yeah.
Because if the 10,000, let's just assume you get half of that, because the commissions are going to go on top of your earnings from a tax standpoint. Mm-hmm. So you will feel like they have a bigger chunk taken out of them.
Yeah, for sure.
So it'll probably be like 5,000. So what do we have? Mm-hmm. What do you have on the credit cards?
Right now I have 11,828. Oh, wait, sorry. That's my Roth IRA. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong number, but it is about 11,000. No, it's 13,191.
13,191. Okay. So I think the first course of action is going to be, and I just want to like look at the tax bracket for New York City. The first course of action I would say is when you get your first commission check, put that all towards credit cards. And then let me ask real quick, what do you have in your emergency fund?
That's my problem. I've got like $5,000 there. So that's why I feel like I need to, that's one of the things I wanted to ask about is like, how can I beef up my savings?
Okay. So once we get rid of the credit card, you have $300 back in your budget. And basically from what this is looking like, you're over budget monthly without the commissions. Mm-hmm. So what can we cut in that 2,700? Even if we're just cutting it for the next 6 months, it's not like a permanent lifestyle change
forever. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
just I've already been sort of like looking at that. Definitely like eating out, like I could get rid of right now I have budgeted $300 for like eating out or groceries. Okay. You know, so I don't know,
that's not a lot.
I know, that's like, well, like generally I'll go over on one or the other. It's like what I've discovered, I've been like doing this $300 thing since the fall. So like right now for February, I'm looking at my budgeting thing. I'm like over on eating out by 40, but I've only spent like $100 on groceries. So it sort of evens out at the end, but okay. Maybe if I could just stick to 300, like stick to that, it'll make a difference. My categories were eating out, groceries, buying stuff on Amazon as like an overall category, and then coffee shop stuff. And clothing. Those were like my categories. Everything else like seemed that I was looking at like I couldn't, seemed reasonable.
Yeah. I think if I had to guess, 300 for food is not terrible. Like if you're spending 100 a week on food, that's not bad. I'm thinking it's the clothing, Amazon, and the coffee shops.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So I have budgeted for Amazon $300 also because I was just trying to be nice to myself, but I could probably make that. And I don't always hit that. But like, that's where I buy my dog's food / some grocery, Amazon's this weird catch all.
Yeah.
But maybe I can make it like, I don't know. Well, I guess like, would it make sense to like back into like what number the 277 should be so that I'm not, you know what I mean? And then
yeah,
I can
I think it should
decide.
Be, yeah. I think food obviously should be the priority. And I think that if that means eating at home more, which New York City mm-hmm. is such a meet at a bar, meet at a coffee shop, meet at a restaurant.
I know.
Culture, yes. which makes it really hard and can be a slippery slope. And then it's like, it's late, I'll take a taxi or I'll take an Uber. And then
yeah.
There goes like $150 that was like not budgeted for pretty quickly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think you have to, and I think you're gonna have to work in like $0 days as well. I think that's like a really, mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of $0 days where you like use your Metro card and bring your coffee with you. Because mm-hmm. in New York City, you could like drop $100, $150 like in the blink of an eye.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leaving New York City was shocking how much more my money lasted just because
yeah,
you get in a taxi or and then you tip and then you go to a restaurant and then
yeah.
eat and then you tip and then we'll go get one more drink and then we do that and then we tip because you tip everywhere, which is great for the service.
Yes.
But like you could have just tipped $30 and then spent on taxis like another, I mean, it gets out of control pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does. And especially if you're doing something like seeing a show, then you've already like spent money on the ticket. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets like, it's pretty wild how quickly money goes in New York City.
Yeah.
And then like other places like Utah, for instance, you can like really not spend. It's like very easy to not spend money.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, I think you're going to have to budget, I call it budget backwards. I think you're going to need to set where you need to be and figure out where that is. So obviously priority would be food, and especially in New York City, it's a lot harder because everyone eats out. It's like part of the culture.
Yeah.
Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because these past few months I've been prioritizing my health as I've recovered from a nasty case of long-haul COVID. I love that it takes the mental work out of getting my vitamins and supplements in, because with just one scoop of AG1, you're getting 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced ingredients, and probiotics. It's been super simple to incorporate into my morning routine because there's virtually no prep required and it tastes great. Plus, it's way cheaper than a fancy coffee habit. If you want to give it a try, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/futurerich. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/futurerich to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. You're just going to have to be creative, and just creative temporarily, because I think given your income, you could be out of debt and in a much better position in like 6 months, like with two. Yeah. So I think that if you can just like buckle down for 6 months and be like, it's wintertime, like I'm just not meeting anybody out at a restaurant. Like they can either come to the apartment or I can meet for, there's so many things you can, there are a lot of things you can do in New York that don't cost money, like meet for a walk or like, isn't the Bryant Park ice skating still free? You just have to rent skates or something. Yeah. Like there's like, I feel like there, if you can, you can be creative and you can find things to do that are very low cost, if not free, and just cut out expenses for like 6 months, and you'll be in such a bigger or better position. You can do it over a year as well. But I feel like if you bite the bullet and just cut some stuff, because you have good income. We just have this, the $2,700, I think, is just like, you could just not buy new clothes for 3 months.
Yeah. And that has been, that has definitely been, I've been much, much better about that since I've been keeping track of it. Yeah. But yes, for sure.
Yeah. So I would budget the reverse. So I would say, okay, I have $4,800 a month coming in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. And then, so $4,800 a month coming in, minus $1,650 for rent, minus $130 for utilities, minus $90 for dog health insurance, minus $110 for car insurance, minus $300, which we'll eventually get rid of, minus $300 for the credit card, minus $400 for therapy. And that'll be like, if it's really actually only $80, right? So it's $320, there's another $80 back in your budget that we've like hidden in there. Okay. So then, and then minus the $422 for savings, that leaves you with $1,698. So if we just say, we give you like an error count, so we just say six, so you have $1,600 to spend for the month.
Okay.
So then from there we break down of the $1,600. I don't know. I feel like $125 a week for food, or at least $100.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can definitely. And that would be like including takeout or anything like that, like grocery, all food.
Yeah, or you, I mean, or you could say, I'm going to spend $600 on food. That's going to be my eating out and my groceries, and I'm just going to monitor that. Because then that works out to be like $150 a week.
Okay.
And then you have $1,000, which is not a lot in New York City, for all the other things that come up.
I know, that feels like so much when I'm just like looking at that number, and I'm like, this feels so generous and like definitely possible, but somehow I guess, you know, I don't feel that I live like a lavish lifestyle, but yeah, New York is, that's real.
It's, yeah, it creeps up on you. So there's a few ways to do it in New York, at least from my experience, like ways that I've done it because I've lived on very little in New York before. Mm-hmm. One is if you're going to go out to a bar, it has to be happy hour. So it has to have like some sort of deal, and they are all over. You just have to look for them.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I literally, one of the things I found I was spending a ton of money on in the city was like Ubers and taxis. So
I actually don't somehow do that. I think because I have that car that I don't really do that as much, but.
So just, I just limit, because that's like where like you go to, from Manhattan to Brooklyn, it's like $52.
Right. Yeah, I know.
You're just like, oh, darn it.
Yeah. So it's like more expensive than my dinner.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, what happened is we're sitting on the Brooklyn Bridge. So like one of the things I did is I just like cut that out. I either took the subway or I walked everywhere, which then the walking made me like reconsider if I really wanted to go to dinner there, because it was going to be an hour walk.
Oh, wow.
I literally walked everywhere. My friends like learned that they had to like give me enough time because I was going to be walking everywhere. And if it was like in a different borough, I would take the subway. But I like generally just walked everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I was just, I couldn't afford the transport. I couldn't afford the transportation. And then I also made it a habit of like eating at home and then meeting someone for just a drink or, you know.
Yeah. Food that feels really doable.
And then that's also doable. Or like, this was another thing I did that like, it's a little cold right now, but like I would meet a friend at the park and I would bring my own food and my own drink.
Yeah. And certainly like living, like being unemployed for that year, I definitely was way more mindful in trying to do things like that. I feel like I've had some practice, you know?
Yeah. It's just, it's more of a, it's a mindset. You just put like a little bit more thought into your spending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little bit more time planning is, you know, like it's when you can and you don't have to worry about it. It, because also like lunches out in the city are significantly cheaper than dinner because they have all those lunch specials.
Yeah.
So like on the weekends, like do lunch and not dinner because that's like $10 versus $50 or $40, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I did that's like super obnoxious is if I did go to dinner, I only ate half the meal. So I had another meal.
Oh yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
Because I'd be like, okay, well, if I'm spending X, then I get two meals out of it. Then that's like fine for my budget.
Yeah.
I do think that you can probably pull off at least a few months of living with, you know, outside of rent, utilities, health insurance, car insurance, credit cards, savings, therapy. I do think you could probably live on $1,600 a week.
I think, yeah, that feels like I should be able to do that. Yeah.
And if you don't hit it every month, that's fine. But that's what you have coming in. So I would target that.
Okay.
And then from there, if you're able to do that, not only are you still saving in your Roth, you're still saving in your 401k, you're still saving in your emergency fund, then, and if you're managing to stay within that limit, and I'm just saying like literally like 6 months, then from there, you should have two commission checks that come in that are around 5,000. And then in 6 months time, you have almost that whole emergent or whole credit card paid off. That's 10,000 to put towards the credit cards in 6 months.
Okay. So that my question for you, and like, I feel like the question I've been struggling with is like, when you don't have a lot of cash and savings, like where, like what is, I guess it's like six of one, half dozen of the other, right? Is it more valuable to just not worry about that and put everything extra into, you know, paying off your credit card?
So for you with your income and the fact that I think you're going to end up with like 10,000 of excess cash in the next 6 months with the bonuses, I would say get rid of the credit cards because then we're still putting money towards the emergency fund, right? We're still putting 170. Once you eliminate that credit card payment of 300, you can bump up your emergency fund to 470 a month.
Right.
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 And then that makes, that then takes your emergency fund, like it makes it grow way faster when you're putting, instead of paying off credit cards at 300 and emergency fund at 170, you then have the same exact budget that you had before. But now that the debt is gone, we have 470 going towards the emergency fund. So 470 at the emergency fund over the course of a year works out to be another 5,600 in the emergency fund.
Yeah.
So it'll just start to snowball. And then once that credit card is paid off, so, okay, so 6 months, it'll take, I guess, technically 7-8 months, right? Because you have to get one more payment and then you'll have another $5,000 bonus, hopefully. And then you pay off the remaining 3,000.
Yeah.
And then from there, you are a free bird, right? Like we have no more debt. And so then anytime you get a commission payment, you could put it in emergency fund. You could split it the difference, put half in the emergency fund, use half for something else. But then you've really freed up your budget significantly.
Yeah. And it's not a bad thing to get used to living on less. You know, like maybe I can manage $1,600 for more than 6 months. You know, like that would be really cool.
Yeah. And if you can manage $1,600, which I think once you like, to me, like implementing it is the hardest part. Sticking to it is a bit easier because you'll get in the habit, right?
Yeah.
You'll get in the habit of like having a tea before you leave or having a coffee before you leave and, you know, planning your meals out and having a snack in your bag versus like stopping somewhere to grab something. You know, when you start to plan a bit more, it will become second nature and you've done it before.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so
I think the only thing, oh, sorry.
Oh, so I was going to say, cause then what you can do if you're able to continue on that, if you do it for more than 6 months is when you keep getting these commissions, you could just be stocking them away in emergency fund and then in really not a lot of time end up having a really solid emergency fund of like $10,000 or $15,000 plus the Roth and plus the 401k. And you are going to max, you are going to probably, if your income continues to grow, like, and these commissions go up, you're going to not be eligible for the Roth.
That's, I know, I never, I was like rereading that that I was like, what? I think by the time that I made it, I like was like, well, there's no way in the universe that that would ever happen for you. And like, here I am.
Yeah. And so that's why I want to keep, I don't want to take away the Roth contribution. It'd be great if you could max it out. But I think the biggest obstacle right now is the budget and the credit cards.
Okay. Okay. And then, yeah, because like for me, it's not just wanting to have a nest egg, but I also am looking at getting my eggs frozen. And unfortunately, my health insurance at this point doesn't cover it.
Oh my God, it's so expensive. It's so expensive.
Yeah, I know. And so I want to, yeah, find a way to get a nest egg, but then also have, I feel like it's going to be at least 20K to do that. And maybe, you know,
you can do it for like, I'm sure it went up with inflation, but New York City is a bit cheaper than other places because you have more pharmacies that have the drugs actually.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. So there's more cost competition because mm-hmm. there's so many more people in New York City doing it. But I did it in Utah thinking I was like, it has to be cheaper in Utah. It like actually right. was not because they're just not the pharmacies that are available in New York City. I actually think my drugs got shipped from New York City, if I remember correctly. Just because there's so yeah. much demand for it there. So I would just yeah. investigate. I do think you can do it for like 10 to 14,000 there. Just there's more competition there. It's like just much more common. Like when I did it here, they were like, we hope you have a baby. I was like, I don't want a baby. But they'd be like, aren't you here to have a baby? I'm like, no, I'm here to freeze my eggs. I'm here for optionality. They were just very confused.
Well, I mean, so that's the other thing is this is like going down another rabbit hole, but like when you have, like, should I not, I guess it's like, it feels now that I'm 35 that like time is of the essence. And so like, is it more important for me to then just actually save these commissions, like not worry about the credit card as much as just trying to get my eggs in the freezer and then do the credit card? Or do you think, I mean, obviously that's, I'm not asking you to be like my healthcare provider, but you know what I mean? It's like, what is like, what should my, I guess the answer to this question is I should get, once I know more about where I'm at with that.
Yes,
like say I get into a situation where they're like, you have very limited, whatever, you know, like you've got three eggs left and that's not real, but you know what I mean? And like, so then it's like a choice, you know, they're like, you should really do this now and not wait until next year.
Yeah. So like, that is going to come down, like, that's going to be more of a medical question. So you're going to need to get your AMH.
Just because I've been you can't tell me everything. Yeah.
Oh, everything. So you need to get your AMH tested. I do think that while it's very expensive, it's given me a lot of peace of mind. And so yeah. I'm never going to tell anyone not to do it. It's it's just an expensive investment, but you know, I'm like, I'm happy I did it and I paid for it out of pocket as well. So I would get your AMH tested. And I would get the quote. We like my girlfriends and I all did it actually. And so we just like got the pricing from everyone. Like we just went around and figured out what the pricing was going to be. It definitely has just become a lot more commonplace in New York City. I did mine 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so ask for discounts, look for specials. Like there are a ton of people doing, a ton of firms doing it in New York City. It's not
That's
what it
crazy.
Used to, yeah, it's not what it used to be.
Do they do Groupons for it?
Because like they're all competing and a lot of them are private equity backed. So it's not just like the hospitals that are doing it now. There's like private entities that are also offering it. You know, do your research on it. I did a whole episode on it. I think I asked if they had like a backup generator because I didn't want to spend all that money and then like their freezer breaks.
Yeah.
And that is also like another cost you'll have because you have to pay your freezer. You have to pay your freezer.
Right.
Which is like really actually not that bad, but find out like what that is. So I got that waived the first year, right? So I just paid for the egg freezing and then didn't pay for a freezer for like 13 months.
Okay.
So anyway, so your AMH will kind of like dictate that when you meet with the doctors and they'll tell you like you are in a good spot or you should consider doing it sooner or later, whatever they recommend. Mm-hmm. That just really drives home the fact that we cannot be spending $2,700 a month because we have other goals.
Yeah.
So I think you have really good income. We just need to really tighten up the budget. And I think that, especially with egg freezing, because it's just a lot, I think that that's got to be your motivator for why you're cutting out on everything else.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, we're females. And so we have limited time to do egg freezing. And so no matter what, the doctors are probably, you're going to want to do it at some point in the near future, whether it's in 12 months, I'm assuming they're going to want to do it sooner than later. So my guess would be they say, maybe you can wait 12 months and that's fine. But they're not going to be like, yeah, wait 3 years. There's no way.
Right, of course. Yeah.
That just makes it like you have to make every penny go farther to do that. Mm-hmm. Because the only way to do it, if they say they want to do it immediately, the only way for you to do it right now is to like put it on a credit card. And you could put it on a 0% APR card, which means there's no interest for 12 months. And you could see what kind of credit limit you could get on it. But ideally, you get one that would cover the full amount of egg freezing. But then it's still going to come back to a place where all the commissions will go to paying off debt. And then that it just extends it from 6 months to longer, like living on exactly yeah. what your salary is. And the commission is you're using your commission, pay off debt, pay for egg freezing, and ramp up your emergency fund.
Yes.
I think you can do it. You can live on very little in New York if you take advantage of what is available there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, thankfully I don't have, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm not spending $2,700 on like, you know, luxury experiences. That's why I'm always so confused. It's like, I'm not living this like wild lifestyle, like, you know?
Yeah. I think the key is like to budget backwards is to say, I have $1,600 to live on. If I can live on less than that monthly, it just moves the needle further. And so like, just be really mindful every day, like, my budget, and you break it down to week and say like my budget for food is, you know, we said 150, then, you know, if it's Friday and you've spent 150 already and it doesn't reset till Monday, well, then you're probably going to need to stay home, right? And like,
yeah,
eat what you have in the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're doing it not because of like to restrict yourself, you're doing it so that you can do the egg freezing and have that optionality down the road, which I think is really a great freedom, and to get rid of the credit card debt and to put yourself in a better longer term financial position, because you're making good income. We just have to make sure that the money is getting spent so it actually serves the purposes that you're looking for. Because if we don't know where the $2,700 is going every month, you can't say like, I took an amazing trip, or then it's not really helping right. you meet your goals.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I feel like it's for sure. Yeah.
Because if at the end of 6 months, even if it was restrictive, at the end of 6 months, you're like, my credit card's almost paid off. I've added more to my emergency fund. I did all the research on egg freezing and I'm going to do it in 6 months. And the next 6 months, that's what I'm going to focus my bonuses on, my commissions on. And I'm going to stick with this.
Yeah. I mean, to imagine that in like 12 months, like I could have no credit card debt and have like done some of this egg freezing stuff and still feel like I have a little nest egg in case I get laid off or something like that is amazing.
Yeah, because with your bonus, yeah. your commission should be around 40,000. So even worst case, you get 20 of it. Maybe you get ideally get like 23,000 in the course of a year will pay off your credit card debt and give you 10,000 towards egg freezing.
Yeah. And also the other thing is the thing that we're not really counting, which is possible, is like I could book an acting job and that's like additional income. You know?
Right. Yeah. That would be all extra. It would be all gravy.
Yeah.
And 12 months goes really quickly, as you know.
Yes, that's true. Awesome. Yes. I really appreciate, I don't know. It was hard for me to like wrap my mind. I guess it's just math, but for some reason it was hard for me to like wrap my mind around like what to do with that $2,700 and how to figure out like how, you know, to where it was going or, you know, what that should look like. So I appreciate your help with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think it's good that the credit card can be a little bit of a slippery slope because it's easy to just swipe. But if you know in your head and you're tracking where you're spending and you know like, okay, that's it for this week. Like I hit my 150, or you say, you know what, next week I'm not going out at all. I'm staying home every night. So I'm going to go a little bit over this week and I'm going to take it out at the next week. But if you're monitoring your spending because you know you need to be a certain amount for the month, because that's going to allow you to get to egg freezing faster, to get to credit card, you know, pay off the credit cards faster, I think it'll be worthwhile. It's a little bit more, you have to be a bit more mindful about it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But 12 months is really fast. And you have, it's like you know, to make another 23,000 really in 12 months will really be a game changer for you financially.
Yeah. I'm excited to just, yeah, get this, get, I just feel like my feet have never quite been under me financially. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited that I have the opportunity to finally just, you know, set myself up a little bit.
Yeah, you will. And it, you know, the great thing about it is it snowballs, right? Because like, as we said, once the credit card is paid off, that's $300 back in your budget, which if you've been sticking to a tighter budget, that's going to feel like a big amount back, right? And then that just, you can put more towards your Roth or more towards your emergency fund, depending on what's going on. And so like every year that you're in this income level and you're able to stick to a tighter budget will just move the needle further for you financially. And like in 2 years' time, you can be in a totally different financial position with your feet completely under you and with the wherewithal to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to save $10,000 to do XYZ, which is a very nice position to be in.
Yeah, for sure. Rather than just like being like, well, I want to take this trip. I don't know how I'm going to afford it. I'm just going to buy the ticket and hope that, you know, and hope that it all works out.
Yeah, I think the key is it for you is always going to be to what I call budget backwards, which in my mind is really forward, which is this is how much I have coming in and this is how I want to have my money serve me. X goes to this, X goes to that. And then that way I'm hitting all my goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, well, I guess we could, I can probably find this out, but what happens when I do max out, like make too much money for a Roth IRA? Do I then just, that just sits there until I'm like 65 or however old and then I...
It just sits there. You can, obviously don't recommend it. You can access it before that, but ideally you leave it there and it continues to grow to your retirement. What you could then do when you max it, when you hit the income limit is in your 401k, they probably have a Roth option. And so you could just increase your percentage inside of the 401k and add Roth monies that way.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Well, I guess that's a bridge to cross later.
let's do the credit card debt and the egg freezing. And then we'll, and then, cause I initially had wanted to like up your 401k, but we'll stick with where that is now. And then we'll up that after you get that done. But basically this year in commissions, you should bring in around 23,000, depending on the tax situation, which that should cover another 10,000 for egg freezing and the 13,000 approximately in credit card debt. And that's just this year.
Awesome. Cool.
Amazing.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'd love to have you back on in like a year.
I would love that too. Keep me honest, you know? I know this is coming down. So like, listen, I want to show up and say I did this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to do a check-in with you.
Excellent.
Well, wonderful. Well, Morgan, thank you for coming on. And for all of our lovely listeners, you can follow our most up-to-date information on Instagram, which is Future Rich Podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.